Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Fit 40 Strong Summit. I'm Tom Terwilliger, your host for this session, and I'm thrilled that you've taken the time out of your busy schedule to join us today, and I promise you that it's going to be well worth your while. You know, when I was coming up as a bodybuilder, some of you know my story. I evolved as a bodybuilder early on as a teenager, ultimately competed as a pro, and one of the things I learned early on as a teenager in my bodybuilding quest, having the illusion that it was all about the training. All I had to do was work out hard, eat an abundance of any kind of food, and get big. That's what I thought it was, right? And that was more or less the fun part. But then I found out soon after that 70% of the battle is the nutrition. It's what you eat. It's how you eat. It's when you eat. And the same holds true today. In fact, it might even be more than 70% as we age in terms of maintaining our youth, maintaining our athleticism, our strength, and our overall health as we move forward. So our special guest today has an absolute treasure trove of valuable nutritional information for you today. And with over 15 years of experience as a personal trainer and nutritional consultant, Kim Shackelford is going to provide some of the soundest nutritional strategies for transforming your health at any age, including your body and perhaps even your overall life. Kim is a former national level fitness figure and bodybuilding competitor. She's a certified nutritional therapist, restorative wellness practitioner, and who doesn't need a little restoration now and again as we age? In fact, our good friend, both Kim and I have a good friend named John Rowley, and you'll have an opportunity to listen to John during the summit if you haven't already. But he does a program called the Restorative Wellness Program, and that's what this is all about. So Kim has an acquired years of fitness and nutrition experience, not only through her educational process, but also as a personal trainer to athletes and owning an athletic club, two athletic clubs for that matter, for over 8 years. I can tell you this from my own personal experience. You accumulate a tremendous amount of experience doing that. But her story and her experience goes well beyond that, much deeper than that. And we're going to cover some absolute essential nutritional elements. So keep in mind that I want you to stick around for the entire session because you don't want to miss anything. So Kim, without any further ado, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And I want to also thank you for being so open and honest about sharing information that is so valuable. And I know that you have your own programs and you have your own training systems, and you work with a lot of personal clients who pay for your knowledge and wisdom. So again, I want to thank you for sharing it, openly sharing it with our listeners today.
Thank you for having me here.
My pleasure. So maybe you could, you know, there's so much, you've got so many credentials and so many years of experience in this area, but you know, everybody's story is much more fascinating than their credentials, much more fascinating than their resume for the most part. And I know that you've had some life experiences, certainly as a mom, certainly as a woman over 40 and a fitness competitor. And perhaps most importantly, as I said, as a mom, that has motivated you to take your level of nutritional experience and knowledge and wisdom to a whole new level. Maybe you could share a little bit about your story coming up as a fitness competitor and ultimately where you are today and how you got here.
I started competing and quickly moved up nationally and did really well with that. And at the time, I thought that was the end all. And I thought it was, you know, we get on fire with that. But I always had that deep fascination with the nutrition side of it. Mm. Unfortunately, at that time, I thought I was knowledgeable, but I probably wasn't very knowledgeable. I think back then, everybody, you know, for years was still on the low fat, high protein diet that probably, you know, I probably looked the part, but I certainly didn't feel the part. And as I did that more and more, I just was completely deficient. Mm. I still did great competitively, but I realized that that was a very small facet to overall health.
Oh yeah.
You know, then in 2005, right after nationals, I got pregnant, had my son. It was a very shocking surprise that he was born with Down syndrome. Mm. And he had a lot of medical conditions that went with that. So that was what sparked me to really go deeper and get more involved in research and go back to school to not only help him and myself, but figure it out for all my clients, because I wanted to give the best information that I could. And as we evolved, we realized maybe what we knew 15 years ago was certainly not where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that we'll keep doing that.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it's always evolving, always changing. But the interesting thing is, and I think you're aware of this as well, a lot of times things come back. You know, some of the older strategies, certainly there's, listen, I've got several years on you in terms of the competitive era, you might say, circa. I mean, I was circa 70, 80, 90. So, I mean, we were using, I mean, God, the nutritional strategies we were using then are so obsolete and archaic today. I mean, I would literally eat 4 cans of tuna a day along with a little salad, maybe an apple if I was lucky. There was no such thing as essential fatty acids. We weren't considering probiotics. We weren't considering any of this thing that we need today to not only be successful competitors, but also be successful competitors in life, especially as we mature. So things do come around a little bit, but certainly the advancements have been made. So in terms of your experience in that area, certainly one of the challenges, and this is something I like to always point out, because everybody on this call or watching this video involved in the Fit 40 Summit has their own level of challenges and obstacles that they face in life. So how, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on, but how the perception that some people might have in terms of having a special needs child, Down syndrome, could be an obstacle that could literally derail them in their lives. How is, I mean, obviously that you used it in many respects to further your cause, to continue your education, but how were you able to reframe that in your own mind? Was it basically love that just kept you moving forward with hope and invigoration for your life and for the life of your son?
Well, certainly those things. I think that my son's name is Kanan. Kanan. Tell people he has taught me way more than I will ever be able to tell him. And so during those years, I took that and looked at it more. You know, the daily challenges were overwhelming. I was single. Kanan also has severe ADHD. I was trying to run businesses, and I had him, and I was taking him to medical appointments. And that chronic stress on top, I mean, we all know that chronic stress of any kind is going to just have havoc on your body and your systems. And so that's, you know, not a topic that I'm certain I'm going to discuss today, but it's certainly something that everybody has something.
Mm-hmm.
I found that I just tried to focus on, I almost felt like I was chosen for that.
Mm.
Try to look at it as a positive thing rather than something that was happening to me. It was happening for me. And I think that there was no better person to have been given to Kanan. And I think there was no better child to be given to me. I think we were honestly perfect for each other, because what I do and what I've learned and what I research for him is helping him. And then he helps me to be a much better person.
Well, you know, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And again, you know, when I talked about reframing, because again, perhaps a less strong person, perhaps a less loving person might have seen it as a challenge that would have been a little overwhelming. And when we talk about the ability to reframe anything and everything that might otherwise be perceived as a challenge, and certainly it's still a challenge, you know, but something that could be insurmountable. And what you did was you reframed that in many respects. And it wasn't as if something was happening to you or done to you, but rather, in many respects, a gift. And we can even look at nutritional approaches if we want to bring it over into that realm, which is, hey, you can focus on, and we'll talk about this. I want to talk about some of the mindset components here, but you can focus on what you can eat as a result of being on a diet, or you can focus on what you're able to eat. The delicious varieties and foods and the different recipes and focus on that and create something positive out of what others might see as a negative. And you've been able to do that in your life. So I think that's awesome for both you and your son. So let's get into some of the stuff that you are so good at. And, obviously you're gaining your reputation as a nutritional specialist, especially for athletes and mature adults, is gaining rapid notoriety online. And we'll share with our listeners a little bit later on where they can read more and learn more about you. But let's talk about some of the things. And what we did was we asked Kim to provide like four different things that she wanted to talk about that she felt like was key components for all of us, especially as we mature in terms of having these strategies or these tactics or elements in our nutritional strategies long term. And she came up with a couple of things that to me were, I haven't really put that much thought into. And I think it's critical that we all look at these things and say, okay, this is what I'm missing. This is some of the things. And certainly there's a macro component to all of this. But what we're going to talk about are these specific things, because I think they're brilliant and they're things that we all need to address and have in our nutritional approaches as we move forward. Again, remember, it's 75 or 80% of your battle moving forward to stay young and healthy. So let's talk about some of these things. Let's talk about the first thing, which again, when we put this question out to you, this was sort of a surprise to me, Kim. That, and again, not completely alien to this by any means. The first thing you said was probiotics. Probiotics are one of the most good, and it's interesting that it's at the very top of your list. So let's talk about that. There are going to be listeners, there are going to be viewers here that, number one, have no idea what probiotics are. There are going to be some that have an idea, and maybe some that are like, wow, finally somebody's talking about this stuff. So let's talk about the importance of probiotics, especially as we age.
Okay. Well, the main thing is that I don't think people realize is that bacteria, and we are 10 times the amount of probiotics as we are our own DNA, our own human genes. So if you really think about that, it's almost like we are being controlled by the bacteria. It certainly controls every system in our body. You know, scientists now are saying that the microflora is actually an unknown organ. And it's always been called like the second brain, but, you know, 80% of our immune system is, your probiotics, your good, good bacteria. And so it's actually in our small intestines and our Peyer's patches. And so you want to increase those as much as possible and obviously decrease the bad bacteria. And they have to be in balance. So, you know, we were talking about anti-aging with wrinkles and skin and losing body fat and encouraging hair and fingernail growth and all those things, cleansing your liver, all those things that we start thinking about in our 40s and 50s, eliminating toxins out of your body. And so that's what those good bacteria do for us. And certainly we need to stay away from the things that kill the good bacteria. Tap water that has chlorine and fluoride and contaminants in it. And that's one big thing I do not think people realize. They think, oh, I'm drinking water. If they are drinking water, that's another subject. But I think that you really, really, really need to know that you need to have some type of filtration system, because chlorine and fluoride is a complete toxin. And while we want it to kill off the bad bacteria and the parasites and things like that, we are also drinking things in our tap water, in our bottled water. You're getting the BPA and things that are endocrine disruptors. So again, with aging, you know, your hormones are decreasing, and you don't want to be drinking things and eating things that are keeping those things out of balance.
You know, it's interesting because what I'm hearing, though, is, and again, one of the things that we've been aware of, certainly in the nutritional field, is that things like antibiotics, if you've ever had to be on high doses of antibiotics or for a lengthy period of time, and it's true that we're becoming, you know, resilient and resistant to different antibiotics today, and we have to go stronger and stronger. And what's happening is those things are also, they're not just destroying the bad bacteria, right? But they're also destroying the probiotics as well. And it says, so, and that's something that's many of us are aware of, but I don't think a lot of us are aware of that the chlorine in our water is also contributing to that in terms of destroying that good bacteria that we so critically need, right?
Exactly. And the the prescription antibiotics is a big part of that, but it's also the pharmaceuticals in our water and the, you know, everybody's got the gels and the lotions, the antibacterial lotions and gels. And when you that is doing the exact same thing. Anything you put on your skin, which is a completely different topic and day, but the external factors that you put on your skin are just as bad as things you ingest. So
that's fascinating, because again, that's something that we all, I mean, if you're in the gym, I mean, listen, hey, listen, there's a lot of germs running around the gym, so face it. So, you know, every now and again, you go for a glass, you go for a hit of water at the fountain, boom, and and again, we seem to think this is a proactive approach to maintaining our health, is to have those little dispensers, right, with the antibacterial stuff, and we put it on our hand, bam, we're ready to go again, you know? And that's proactive in our minds. But what you're telling us is that in many respects, that may actually be doing more harm than good from a probiotic standpoint.
I think it's complete overuse. And, you know, 80% of the antibiotics are actually going into our meat. Into our animals.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating conventional meat, then you're getting it that way as well. You know, the GMO, the processed food, the herbicides, the pesticides, all those things are killing off our bacteria. So if you are actually to the point where you're trying to increase those in some way, whether it's a supplement or drink or foods or whatever, you need to be aware of the things that are actually killing them off.
I mean, that's critical, because again, you know, we if we want to get proactive, we can supplement or we can eat the types of foods that will help create an abundance of things, but all we're really doing in many respects is trying to counteract something else we're doing that's destroying these incredibly important, you know, elements in our system. So some of the things that we need to do, just point by point, we need to eliminate the, is it frequent? If I'm a doctor and I'm working in a hospital where the germs are everywhere, I mean, they've talked about decreasing the spread of disease and germs and illness in hospitals as a result of doctors using more of these anti elements, right? Is it okay to do this stuff sometimes, or we want to try and eliminate the use of these little different antibacterials on our hands all the time? What would you suggest?
I mean, you know, everything in life is balanced, and there's certainly situations where you could use a little bit of that here and there, but if you can and when you can, I would alleviate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one. Number two, beef. Should we be eating more organic? Does organic not have the antibiotics that a lot of the cattle that we're eating has?
Yes, but you need to really take it a step further. We'll talk about fats, we'll talk about other things, but you need to take it a step further. It needs to be grass-fed, pastured. Those things are critical in finding and eating and ingesting animals that are actually going to increase and help you with hormones and probiotics and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so what else we could do? We've got to also, let's just say there's three things. One is stop using the antibacterials constantly on a like on an obsessive basis, right? Number two, maybe eat if you're eating meat, red meat or any kind of meats at all, make sure it's organic, make sure it's grass-fed and doesn't contain antibiotics. And number three, we need a filtration system for our water to eliminate a lot of the chloride that is otherwise destroying this good bacteria, yes?
Yes, and then also really, truly, you need to reduce your sugar, because bad bacteria feeds off sugar and proliferates, and that would be probably number two on the list.
So I like that idea also as well from many perspectives, certainly. And, you know, I'm a proponent of sugar versus, artificial sweeteners in that particular case. However, you're right. In what really feeds off, and again, here's something, listeners, that you want to be aware of, is that we're not just talking about, I hardly ever use sugar. I never take a teaspoon, put it in my sugar, and put it in whatever it is I'm doing. Well, guess what? The wine that you're drinking, the beer that you're drinking, the alcohol that you're drinking, the breads that you're eating, these all contain sugars in many respects, right, that contribute to the bad bacteria. So what is some of the, I want to move on real in a moment, but what are some of the bad bacteria that people experience that overwhelm in many respects and cause all sorts of adverse effects in the body that overwhelm the good probiotics? What are some of the bad bacteria that can build up as a result of having lower levels of the probiotics and eating sugars and all these other things that we're talking about?
Well, bacteria, fungus, you know, they are proliferating from those. And what happens is, you know, you, with the things, all these things are kind of overlapping, because once you have a, what's called dysbiosis, when you have more bad bacteria than good bacteria, you know, you start getting different issues with digestion, and people have, anybody that has any kind of digestive issue, that is definitely something that you have to know that, that I know that probably nobody's heard of leaky gut possibly, but if you know, those are the things we're going to talk about today, because even though I'm not really covering that topic, the things that we're talking about weaving in together, they do all overlap, and they, one supports the other, and it's all synergistic.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the things we can do proactively then. No pun intended, proactive. So I mean, one of the first things certainly I think on everyone's mind, because of the advertising and the marketing, that we can do to increase our probiotics and Acidophilus, Bifidus, is there anything else that we need to be aware of? Those two things are the two that I'm primarily aware of.
I think what you need to focus on is getting as many strains as you can and getting, you know, different foods, different cultured fermented vegetables, sauerkraut, kimchi. You know, I actually have a company that even ferments carrots and ginger. I drink coconut kefir, which has less sugar than like kombucha. I think kombucha has its place, and I certainly have some of those, but I do drink coconut kefir more often. You know, yogurt, I think that is a huge misconception with people that they are actually getting probiotics, because I do eat raw yogurt, and I know that's a little bit more difficult to get your hands on, but it can be found, and I can give you links to different places that you can order that. But when you pasteurize something, so no matter if you're getting grass-fed, organic, full yogurt, maybe that's okay for a snack, but you're not getting probiotics. So to me, it's pointless.
Right. They're not going to get enough from it.
There's no enzymes. Yeah. There's no probiotics. There's really, the nutrients have been stripped out and synthetically refortified. So I would not look to conventional or any type of yogurt that you can find at the store for probiotics. You know, you can take a supplement. I think that everybody, and I would encourage everybody to also take supplements. The food you're going to get way more out of, and different strains. But like, for example, I sell the highest level probiotic, therapeutic probiotic you can get, and it's soil-based. So it's more like a native probiotic, where some of the foods are more transient. They kind of come in, do their job, and then they're gone. So you have kind of like working out. You can work out for 2 years and then not working out anymore. So you have to keep
doing it. Yeah. So is it something like, let's just say on an acute level, I was on some antibiotics, and I always supplement during and after doing antibiotics to make sure that I try and get everything back in balance again. Is that something you'd recommend as well? Like, let's just say you've had an acute experience and you want to make sure you don't have an infection, or you're fighting an infection. So if you want to increase your, that's my wife crawling around behind us, trying not to get into the picture. Dawn, did you think we couldn't see you back there? Oh man, I could comment on that, crawling around on our knees, but I'm not going to. let me get back on point. I'm sorry.
Antibiotic, I would recommend even trying to maybe in between your dosage, depending on what your dosage is, like trying to take some in between, like hours away from whenever you took the antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add in what's called Saccharomyces boulardii. which is actually a pro yeast. So that would be something that you would want to take during, because it won't be affected by the antibiotic.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So I'm going to ask you, you said that you could give out, and maybe what we could do is have our listeners get in touch with you directly via either email or through your website, because I know they're going to have a lot of questions around this. They're going to be looking for some of the resources that you're utilizing yourself so they can put them in place, either through your advice, coaching online, or if you care to share just some of the strategies and some of the resources you have, I'd love for you to be able to do that. So we'll give out your website or your email, whatever you prefer to share later on. So listeners, if you have any specific questions for Kim, you're going to be able to do that, be able to address that directly with her and create a relationship along the way, where I know Kim can help you with many of your nutritional challenges as well. So let's move on real quick. But again, I wanted to cover that because, number one, you had it in the first place position of the four things we wanted to talk about today. And I found it interesting, and I found it also fascinating. It has definitely increased my awareness of the importance of probiotics, certainly in my own system and my own desire to maintain health and vitality and energy as I move forward, especially that gut strength. Remember, you know what they say, folks? You know what I mean? If you feel it in your gut, there's a reason for it. The gut is a living mechanism of its own, a living body of its own, and you need to nurture it and take care of it. So the second thing that you suggested that was certainly of vital importance, I 100% agree with, and it's fats. And this is something that I think so many of us still have a fear of. We've been so indoctrinated over the last 30 plus years, maybe longer, to avoid fats, like at all costs. If I want to get leaner, I got to avoid fats. Well, there's a lot of negative ramifications to that, folks, especially as we age. We can get away with things when we're in our 20s, even early 30s, that we can't get away with now in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. And certainly not getting the right amounts and the right portions of essential fatty acids. So let's talk about that, Kim, a little bit, the importance of the right kind of fats and getting plenty of them. Why is that important?
Well, it's, you know, like you said, it's shocking to me with all the information out now that people still come to me, even athletes, and say, oh no, I can't eat that. That's too much fat. And it's the complete opposite. You know, fat is what gives us our long burning energy. And from a cellular level, the outer layer of every cell in your body is fat. So if you are not ingesting those good fats daily, then what happens is that outer cell is not going to be pliable. And when it's not pliable, you're not going to get nutrients in and out. You're not going to be able to get rid of toxins. You're not going to be able to get your hormones aren't going to be, the receptor sites will be hardened. So I think that people don't think about fats are what actually produce your hormones, every hormone in your body, not just sex hormones. You know, you take something like, it even produces your prostaglandins, which is mm-hmm. what helps us to inflame and anti-inflame. So if you do not have good fats, your body is going to be in constant inflammation. So, you know, that your skin, your hair again falls out, you know, all these myriad of things start happening when we don't have those good fats and we start aging, it starts catching up.
Well, not to interrupt you there, but I just want to validate that point. Was when I was, 21 years old competing, actually I wasn't competing at 21. I was riding Harleys with some crazy bikers. But when I was 25 and I started competing again, and again, we were doing these crazy diets with almost no fat. I mean, that's what we did. I can tell you this, I was aging very quickly. You talked early on when you introduced yourself in terms of your experience, you know, you looked great. But we weren't. I was in the worst shape of my life when I won the National Bodybuilding Championship. I was miserable. I was cramping. My hair was thinner than it's ever been. My skin looked terrible. It was just like I needed some fats. I was aging very quickly as a result of that. And so I think it's so important to take a look at that now in terms of how we're, look at your skin. If your skin's dry, this may be a symptom. And so let's talk about the types of fats. I mean, because so across the board, certainly we don't want to go out and just start eating greasy, fatty burgers. Right. I mean, which might have been, you know, a recommendation from some dietary approaches a few years ago, but it's not necessarily, you know, what we want to do. So where do we find, what are the type of fats we need?
Well, the saturated fats, again, we talked about the grass-fed meats. That's very important. There's things in, for example, grass-fed beef that you can't get anywhere else. There's things in butter. I, of course, recommend raw butter because you are going to get those probiotics and you're going to get the enzymes and a lot more nourishment out of raw butter than you're going to get. If you cannot get raw butter, I would get grass-fed. Make sure it's grass-fed. I think Kerrygold is a good brand, Organic Valley. But you have to have like cold-pressed, unrefined coconut oil. And pastured egg yolks. You want the yolks. That's where all the nutrients are. I know back when we were competing, it was, I think I threw every yolk I'd ever seen out. And I look back now and just laugh. Because no wonder I felt so terrible all the time.
And we were eating, I mean, I must have ate, at the time, I was eating 2 dozen egg whites a day. I could have gotten by with 6 eggs with the yolks. And there's no reason not to eat those yolks. And this is something I think this is, let's address this fear again, because some of this stuff, you know, whether real or imagined or, you know, just simply perpetrated by the either the medical community or who knows who, this fear we have about eating something that has cholesterol in it. I mean, we talk about eggs, for example, you know, high in cholesterol, you want to avoid eggs or have only a couple a week. What are your thoughts on that?
Your body has to be able to produce and have cholesterol so that it can help. That's what helps heal your body. Whether it's cardiovascular or anything in your body that has a place that needs a patch, that's what does that.
Mm.
When you're sitting around eating low fat, fat free, no cholesterol, and it's funny to me that the doctors are still recommending to
people
that they want, if you've had some type of heart condition, that you can't have anything to help you repair it.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. So, well, it's not a medication. It's not a prescription.
That's right. If you can't make money off of it, nobody's going to know about it.
We're not going to recommend it.
So the other things that I would recommend are, you know, the nuts, walnuts, almonds. Nuts are great. Avocado, olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. The one thing that I do want to bring out that probably people do not know about, you know, I think in this country, and we're going to talk about the water and talk about minerals, everybody is so depleted minerally in this country. And for example, grains and nuts and things need to be soaked and sprouted because they have what's called phytic acid. So when you go and you're buying raw organic nuts, that's one step. The second step to that is that if they are not sprouted, then you are not getting rid of that outer layer of phytic acid, which binds to your minerals and chelates them. So you kind of have to, there's things that may seem like they're over the top, that really truly are not over the top. They're really necessary, and you can buy them that way, or you can do it yourself. It's not a process. You just soak rice overnight. You soak and then just let them dry out.
So you could do it yourself. I mean, yeah, but without that process, we're not getting the full benefit of the nutritional components of these of the nuts, for example, or even rice. Yeah. Okay, that's a practice I'm going to start immediately. All right, you got me. I bet you got a few of us out there with that one. So let me. One of my favorites, by the way, are pistachios, and I've been reading some good things about pistachios, and I love them. Number one, you don't. It's harder to eat. Just of course you can get them deshelled already, but it's a little harder. Otherwise, you got to open them. It takes time. It's a process. And it's part of the things that we enjoy about eating, right? This is sort of the process. And this is something we've lost a little bit in touch with as well. We eat fast. We're on the go. We got to get it down. You know, we got to get our food in. We're hungry. And we've lost that process of enjoying the meal. I enjoy eating those pistachios. So do you recommend those in terms of a good nut?
I do. I eat Brazil nuts. I eat I eat really every kind of nut.
Mm-hmm. You love nuts. I know you like. I know that you like John Rowley, so you must love nuts.
I don't really recommend peanuts. There's a lot of mold on peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually buy jungle tree nut peanuts that are probably better. But overall, I would say probably that would be low on the list.
How about peanut butter? I mean, how if we were going to approach a nut butter? And maybe it's not peanut butter. Maybe we leave that out altogether. So almond butter, some of the others are good. And as long as we, again, follow the same rules of the nut themselves, being raw, sprouted, we want to get in that way. And then we can create it ourselves. Whole Foods, Sprouts, we can go in there. We can kind of create the butter we want as a result, right?
Right, exactly. And you can purchase sprouted almond butter. You can make it yourself. And then, you know, as far as peanut butter, I know everybody loves peanut butter, but again, it's low on the list. But again, you can buy the tree nut butter. And Valencia would probably be a better choice for that.
I'll do that.
You can buy with anything.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to switch over to tree nut butter because I love peanut butter. I mean, I literally have it every day. It is one of my staples for the most part. And I tried the almond butter. I wasn't that big a fan. A little dry. I couldn't do it. But I will switch over as a result. So let me one other thing that's become very popular. Then I want to move on to our next suggestion and tactic. Is and you mentioned it briefly from a moment ago, which is coconut. And coconut oil, raw coconut oil. It's become very popular, and I certainly have benefited from it myself. I've started using it not only as a topical in terms of a skin moisturizer, even a hair conditioner, but also in my protein drinks. And I don't cook with it, but I certainly try and get as much of the raw element as possible. And it's inexpensive, but it's a slightly different type of oil. Is it everything that, well, it may not be everything that's being touted, but your thoughts on coconut oil?
Well, I think that, like you said, it's good for everything and anything. I have it in my, I make my own mixture of different oils for my skin. I do put it in my hair sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, you should cook with it because it is one of the oils that can go high heat.
Mm-hmm.
For years and years, I thought I was doing myself a favor by cooking with olive oil. And
right. Same here.
Not be heated.
Hmm.
Drizzle it over a salad or something like that, but it kind of changes the molecular structure of it, and so that's the one great thing. Even when I do have organic popcorn as a snack for Canaan, I'll use coconut oil to do that, and it's delicious.
Fantastic! I'll do that. One of the reasons I stopped cooking with coconut oil is my wife hates the smell of it when it's cooking. For some reason, she just doesn't like it. I'm like, I don't even taste it. I don't smell it at all. You know, she's like, oh, you can't. No more. That's it. Forbidden. No more cooking with coconut oil in the house.
I don't think she'll have that problem.
Keep in mind also that she was the woman crawling around behind us here when we were talking. There she is over there giving me a dirty look. So let's move on. We've got some great strategies there. We've certainly got, you know, you want to increase your essential fatty acids. You want to do that from raw nuts, sprouted nuts, change if you're eating peanut butter, change to the tree nut or butter. You can do that. Add coconut oil into your not only your personal hygiene products, but certainly into your food, into your meals, even with cooking, are certainly good things. Eat good organic meats in terms of getting those cholesterols. And fear not the almighty incredible egg, because it is unbelievable. I love eggs. I still eat a half a dozen or so a day easily. Never had high cholesterol at all. So people, I think, certainly check with your doctors. We'll need to put that out there. Although they may not recommend what we're recommending, it could be a strategy that could work for you. So let's move on to the next thing. We don't want to run out of time before we hit all four. So let's talk about this other thing too, because one of the things that obviously happens, especially as we age, we begin to lose elasticity in our skin. Certainly not me. Pull it back. And we see it everywhere. I see it, you know, as my arms go from 21 inches down to a measly 16 or 17. I see the skin being a little looser. There's a few more wrinkles here and there. And part of that certainly has to do with collagen, doesn't it? And its effect on the body. So let's talk about that as your third critical component in a nutritional strategy for anti-aging. Let's talk about the importance of collagen and you call it bone broth. Let's talk about that. What is that?
Bone broth is probably what I would say the most profound food that has helped most of my clients with so many different issues and conditions. And then the athletes use it now for joints and recovery. And you know, it decreases weight gain and helps with constipation and any type of autoimmune. And so it's basically like a scaffolding, like it literally the rebuilding of cells, and it does reduce wrinkles and gives you skin density and hydrates your skin, all the things that we're desperately looking for in our 40s and 50s. And so the minerals and the proteins, they actually heal your gut. They heal the inflammation, they heal the lining. So you, again, you want to make sure that you're getting the bone broth, making the bone broth, or purchasing the bone broth from a source that has grass-fed, properly fed animals, because that obviously directly translates to you.
So with that said, let me go back just for a second, because are we talking about using bones, as you talk about, that still have some of their elements, certainly they're the internal components of the bone from these grass-fed animals, and actually creating a broth, boiling them and creating a broth for ourselves?
Yes, it's actually the bones, the ligaments, the tendons, the cartilage, and you get all that proline and glycine from that. So what you would do is you would get the bones. You know, you can do chicken, and I would actually recommend starting with chicken, because it's kind of like, I think our moms had the right ideas, our grandmothers had the right ideas with making us drink chicken soup, but they were giving us the processed kind, and that wasn't probably helping us, but hurting us. So you take the bones, and I would recommend putting them into like a crock pot, and you want to put a little bit of water just to cover the bones, and put a little apple cider vinegar in there to break down the minerals in the bone. And, you know, if there's marrow, you could actually take that out and eat that.
But, take out the marrow. Don't leave that in.
And, but it tastes really good. And if you haven't had it, it's absolutely I know people think I'm crazy, but if you actually had it,
All right, we'll leave it in there.
Anyway, so you do that for probably 24 hours. Leave it, and it becomes very gelatinous. And so I just take about 8 ounces of that a day and drink it. If you know, I'm going to tell you about an alternative to that that helps kind of supplement some of that some of the work. Or, you know, if you buy it, I've got several different places that you can go that are very trustworthy sources. But it really helps with everything. Like there's GAGs, which is like chondroitin and glucosamine. But, you know, what you're missing in those types of supplements is the actual, you're not getting the things that you're going to get in bone broth, because you're going to be missing the collagen.
Right.
So it's just the raw materials that are anti-inflammatory and gives you those fats, minerals, proteins, and it rebuilds your tissue.
I'm in. Is there anything we can do? I mean, is it like, you may have learned to enjoy it. My wife loves sipping down some apple cider vinegar here and there. I have a hard time with it. And again, I think I'm probably speaking for the majority of our listeners, viewers on the 40 Summit, which, by the way, you know, listen, sometimes we have to do things that we don't necessarily enjoy. We learn to enjoy them a little bit and learn to appreciate them more as a result of their value. But things like apple cider vinegar and even the broth, how is the broth? Can we spruce it up? Can we make it more flavorful? Is it horrible? Or are we going to be able to deal with it?
Most people, if you like chicken soup, you cook and you make soups and you use stock, it's a deeper version of stock. So you take you know, carrots, whatever you want to put in there, herbs, carrots, onions, celery, and you put that in the the crock pot with that, and it just gives it that nice soupy flavor. But you can also, if you don't feel like you can do that for whatever reason, the beef broth, because it gives you different profiles of all those minerals and proteins and fats. So, you know, I know that there's different parts of the animal that are probably have more than others. And so you want to take that and just cook with it. I put, sometimes if I make spaghetti for my son, I'll just put the beef bone broth in there. Obviously you can't taste it, but it just gives that richness. And if I make soups, I just use the bone broth for that. And if I make, you know, even when I cook rice, instead of using water, I'll just use the bone broth.
Fantastic. So, last question on this one is, is there a place we can go to buy the bones? I mean, are there organic stores? I mean, I've never bought, other than for my dogs, you know, something that would be gnawed on as a bone or something. This is something we go out and actually purchase.
You can, yes. And you just have to find a reliable source.
Okay. All right. Well, don't go digging around my backyard, folks, because it's not a good reliable source.
But I wanted to mention one thing. For, you know, we can't all be perfect every day, and we're not, So we have supplements sometimes, and a good supplement that is not going to be exactly the same, but something you can put in your protein shake, is called collagen hydrolysate. And you can get that through Bulletproof. You can get it through Dr. Axe. You can get it through a great company that's been around for years and years. It's called Great Lakes. And you just take, you know, a couple tablespoons of that, throw it in there, and you get all those amino acids.
And ultimately, the long-term benefit of this is going to be to our hair, our skin, our nails, our joints, I would think. Tremendous benefits, yes? Okay. All right. Hey, listen, guys, as we turn the page on another year, we need to do everything we can. We need to uncover every stone and dig deep in terms of creating this vitality for ourselves. And this is an area we can overlook, because it's something that we don't think about. We think about the more superficial stuff. So let's get on this, man. I'm on it. Three things already that I'm going to change as a result of our conversation. Let's move on to the next thing real quick. And again, if you want more information, Kim is going to share a way of getting in touch with her. You can ask some questions if you'd like, or go directly deeper and have her do some coaching with you, nutrition coaching, even online if you prefer to do that. And I think that would be an advisable thing to do for most of us, at least to get the momentum going and creating some real strategic changes in your nutritional approaches as you move forward into your maturity. So the last thing we wanted to talk about, and this is something you emphasize also strongly, it's last, but I'm sure it is not by any means least, because it's probably one of the things that, again, it's so obvious, but we neglect doing it. Even myself, I mean, I have my cup right here. It's got some water in it. I didn't have my usual bottle right here, which is about this big. It's about a liter bottle. I have it on my desk. But there are times when I feel like I got to drink something. I need some water. I go in, I fill my bottle up, I put it down, and I forget to drink it. An hour later, I'm like, oh my God, I never even had a sip. We neglect that. So the importance of water, and you mentioned minerals earlier, certainly, and that plays a role as well. But let's talk about that. How important is hydration, man?
It's the most, very most important nutrient. And so, you know, again, we are 65% water, and most of our cells is comprised of water. So very good, I see that. I think that people do overlook, and they are not really informed on how much they're supposed to have. And, you know, when I work with endurance athletes, that's a whole nother thing. You really have to be specific above and beyond. But for most of us on a daily basis, we have to have half of our body weight in ounces. And so that's one part of it. So, you know, people come to me and they're like, you know, I drink so much water, and I'm like, well, great, that's part of it. But the other part of that is that you have to replenish your electrolytes and your minerals, because they work synergistically. So one really cannot be utilized by the body without the other. And every single mechanism in your body uses water and minerals. Mm-hmm. So, it's the easiest thing and that we talked about today to actually do on a daily basis. You know, I even have people put alarms in their phones when they're starting to get used to it so they don't forget during the day. I would suggest drinking most of your water in between meals. Dilute your hydrochloric acid so that you can break down your food properly during your meal. You do want to have a little bit. But again, you know, you need to look into a filtration system. Try to stay away from the plastic bottled water. And most of those honestly aren't any better than tap water anyway. And also getting the chemicals and the BPAs. And so I wanted to give some ideas on how to start replenishing some of those minerals, because if you're drinking half of your body weight and more based on your caffeine, you have to add back in for that, add back in for alcohol. You want to make sure that you're replenishing. So obviously fruits and vegetables is one facet of that. But something that you can do that I don't think people are aware of is you can add back in Himalayan sea salt, Celtic sea salt. All that is one is 60 different minerals, one is 80 different minerals, and you're getting different profiles. So I would kind of interchange those. But you can sprinkle it on your food. You can put, you know, a little bit into, if you have like 30 ounces or more water, you can put some in your water. That's a good way to get it during the day. But, you know, water and minerals, it again, with the anti-aging, it transports hormones and it's your chemical messengers and nutrients and energy. And I think that you just need to make sure that you are at least aware that that would probably be the very first thing you should do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's fascinating to me as a health and fitness coach myself, that how many people neglect some of these basic things, like, and again, the water, hydration, and how many people still, I think there's a voluntary ignorance out there in terms of what we really know we should be doing and don't do. You know, I hear, well, I drink soda, I drink tea, I drink coffee, and that's enough, right? Please, you know, it's not enough. Come on, don't kid yourself. You're not kidding me. You're not kidding Kim, and you're certainly not kidding your body. Your body needs what it needs: pure, healthy water and an abundance of it to really keep you strong. And if you're feeling aches and pains in your joints, there's a good chance you might be a little bit dehydrated if you're feeling fatigue. And this is one of the things, Kim, I read a great book several years ago called Your Body's Many Cries for Water by Dr. Batman Gallage. And it was a real eye-opener for me in terms of even a little bit of chronic fatigue. We all have acute experiences of fatigue. I'm just exhausted today, you know. But if we have chronic fatigue, there's a couple of things going on. It could be widespread nutritionally, or it could simply be that you're dehydrated and your body isn't working optimally with its energy systems to really provide what you need for the day. You know, the old saying is, I wish there was more time in the day. No, what you need is more energy to utilize the time that you do have. And as we age, that energy begins to diminish and diminish and diminish, and we see the results negatively along the way. So there's some great tips. I think we're just about out of time. I mean, we've really utilized a lot of your time, a lot of your information, and I think you've really provided some great stuff, you know, all the way from, you know, the collagen to water to minerals to getting the right kind of fats in our system. I mean, just across the board, some great information, great tips. But I know our listeners are going to want more, especially if they want to start applying these strategies and then some into their own lives. So maybe you could share with us how they can either get in touch with you or learn more about what you're doing and find out more information.
Well, certainly everybody can go to my website. It's www.kimshackelford.com. That's S-H-A-C-K-L-E-F-O-R-D. And you can go to my website. I have pretty detailed information on there about what I do, far beyond what we've talked about today. And my phone number is on there as well.
Fantastic. So please reach out to Kim. Get the information you need to start the momentum moving forward. I'll tell you something, that battle, it doesn't get any easier as we age, folks, as we know. This is why you're on this summit right now. So the key to being on this summit isn't to just get information, to learn some new things, and to be able to talk with some level of knowledge about it, but to actually implement the tools, the strategies, the rules that are being shared with you so you can have a profound impact on your life from a nutrition standpoint, from an exercise standpoint, from a mindset standpoint, and even a spirituality standpoint. Put these practices in to your own life in terms of your regular strategies, and I guarantee it will make a radical difference. Kim, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we sign off for this session?
No, I just really appreciate you including me on the summit, and I wanted to say that for everybody listening, that it's not about being perfect, it's just about being consistent. So do something and do it as many times as you can, and it's like having a drop of water in a bucket. It's one, but it fills up eventually. And so that's what I hear from people. They can't, but you know, you got to think about what you can do instead of what you can't do.
Yeah, it takes us right back to that reframe and that mindset you had when you were gifted with a special needs child and stepped up to that, and also the rest of your life. So thank you so much for that and for all the strategies that you shared with us today, as well as your time. So thank you, Kim. And everyone, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be here for this session and for the sessions going forward as we continue with the Fit 40 Strong Summit. But remember, it's about putting these things, select a few things. It may not be everything we talked about today, but select one, two, or even all four of the things that we talked about to help change your life and your physiology, energy moving forward. I'm Tom Twilliger, and we'll see you on the next session.